Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
I am Shelley Neese, Coordinator for American Christian Leaders for Israel, a project of ICEJ. We are here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas, Texas, and I am with my colleague, Barry Dennison, who is the Finance Director for ICEJ USA. Welcome, Barry.
Well, thank you, Shelley. Good to be here.
So one thing that happens at conventions is you start to become besties with the people that you're here with, in the booth with. Yes. And so, Barry, I've learned so much about you. You're just such a fascinating person. But I want to start with, you weren't always the pro-Israel man that we know you to be today.
Very true. Got saved, ended up studying biblical literature for my bachelor's degree. Went to Brazil, served as missionaries, planting churches, training pastors, seeing revival happen. And for me, Israel was just another nation, just another people group that needed the Lord. And was back in the States, went out to lunch with my first mentor in Christ. We'd been friends for almost 20 years at that time. And he begins to walk through Romans 11 with me. Well, that lunch lasted 6 hours. And at one point, he was a retired army captain at that time, and he says, "I know I'm throwing hand grenades in your theology." My response was, "These are nukes. This is not hand grenades."
And you had read Romans 11. You had read Romans before.
I did the book of Romans in the Greek, but I did not remember ever reading Romans 11. And that is a spiritual blindness that any of us can have over any verse. We can read a verse many times, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings it to light. Well, Romans 11 violated my understanding of the Israel and Jewish people so much so that every time I read that chapter, it made me angry. For example, one of the verses says, "If God broke them off for unbelief, do not be arrogant towards them, or he can break you off." And as I would read that, it's like 99% of what the church says about the Jews is arrogant.
And it threatened your own, maybe, sense of security in your salvation, if what you previously believed, too.
Right. And it, thankfully, I had a conviction that the Word of God had to determine my theology, and I could not twist or try to work out funny word interpretations of the word to justify what I already believed. So for the next year and a half, I would read Romans 11 two or three times a day with the conviction that if it bothered me, I needed to change. And at the end of that, my wife and I, we were living in Brazil at the time, had expected to become a part of the history of the Brazilian church. But we made a trip to Israel to look for study options, and that led a couple of years later to our moving to Israel in 1995.
But you really were having a thriving missionary experience in Brazil, right? You were seeing fruit from what you were doing there?
Yeah. In the 12 years there, we planted 25 churches. With Brazilian pastors and leaders. Three of the churches blew up, imploded, but the rest continued to grow. And even today, if I accepted every invitation to go speak in Brazil, I'd have to move back.
Wow, because you are a Portuguese speaker.
Speak Portuguese fluently, yes.
And so when you moved to Israel, were you moving there to live or to work or to study or to tour?
Well, the goal was primarily to study. It's like I needed to get my head around this new potential reality that God was doing something with Israel, and moved there to study. And living there now for 18 years has been a learning experience. But the goal, the desire was, okay, God's saying something about Israel. I need to understand that. Mm-hmm. So that was why we uprooted our family, moved to Israel with our three kids. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, our supporters as missionaries on the mission field continue to support us living in Israel. And that chapter, we lived there for 7 years until our oldest daughter graduated high school.
Okay.
And then we moved back to the States for a season. Mm-hmm. It felt like the Lord guided us to be close to our kids as they transitioned, because they had lived their whole life overseas. So America was like Disneyland.
Right.
And we all know that neither Disneyland nor America are all good.
But they are hard to leave.
But we wanted to be there to help them transition and support them. Mm-hmm. So lived in the States from 2003 to 2014, when I moved back to Jerusalem to take over the role with the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem.
Now, you've been in Jerusalem in this last phase for
11 years now.
11 years. And so you've seen a lot of things happen in those 11 years, and Israel go through plenty of experiences, plenty of traumas. Were you in Israel on October 7th?
Yes, we were in Israel October 7th. October 5, 2 days before, was the ending of that year's Feast of Tabernacles. We celebrated with about 500 Christians from roughly 50 nations in the Sha'ar HaNegev Regional Council High School Gymnasium. The leadership was there, thanked the Christians for the support. My friend Ofer Libstein, who was the mayor of that regional council at the time, gave his expression of gratitude to all the Christians, invited them back next year. And at this point, I don't remember exactly the words, but he made a statement like, we invite you back next year and we will plant or build or protect the land of Israel until you return. And Saturday, October 7, Ofer Libstein was the first civilian named as killed in the massacre of October 7.
It's awful. So many of those ICEJ people were with him just 2 days
before
death, and he was hoping for Israel's future and for his family's future.
Yeah.
May his memory be for a blessing.
Amen.
So now, what has life been like in Israel in the last 500 days?
All of us who live in Israel are dealing with post-traumatic stress at some time. I've always been very easy to cry as a man over something, but in this year, I recognize that things are just triggering the sadness, the grief, the stress. You know, I've only lost a few friends, but a very dear friend of mine named Elisha, I'm talking to him two weeks after October 7, and he's like, Barry, it's tough. I've been to almost 100 shivas, because he was heavily involved in those communities.
Right.
But I'd like to address something a little different, just mm-hmm. to shift gears a little bit. Sometimes I hear from Christians, how can God be restoring Israel if they're not godly? If so much of Israel is a secular, humanistic ideology. And I take them to Ezekiel 36, where it talks about, I'll bring you back. If you aren't familiar with 36, you need to be familiar with Ezekiel 36. The prophet speaks to the mountains, Judea, Samaria. Mm-hmm. Prepare yourselves. I'm bringing Am Israel, the people of Israel, back. Then the prophet speaks to Am Israel, the people of Israel. Get ready. I'm taking you back to Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. Then later on, he says, and when you're there, I'll take out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Then I'll pour out my spirit on you. Then I'll write my law in your hearts. Then no one will need to teach you about me. Mm-hmm. Now, we as Christians tend to think of that as a conversion experience. Mm-hmm. we lived in Israel in the 90s when Israel was in the first Lebanon War. Mm-hmm. And having grown up during the Vietnam War, the news looked like that. Every evening's news was another body coming back, another soldier lost, a nation divided over the war. Mm-hmm. Not once, with the army being in the news every day, did you ever see a rabbi with soldiers? Did you ever see soldiers with tallits, prayer shawls? It was the paradigm of the secular Israeli
strong soldier
ideology. When I moved back in 2014 and there was a conflict in Gaza, Israel had to go into Gaza partially in 2014. Every day there's a video of a rabbi with a Torah scroll open, and special forces combat soldiers are there praying with their tallits, rolling up their prayer shawls, putting them and going to battle. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was as if God was saying, look, in this generation, mm-hmm. I'm taking out the heart of stone. Mm-hmm. I'm putting in a heart of flesh. They now have a tender heart to the traditions of their fathers. Mm-hmm. Now, as a Christian, I'm not saying they've come to Jesus.
But you're seeing a form of revival.
But turning towards God mm-hmm. within their Jewish context and traditions. Mm-hmm. And this war of October 7th, one of my best friends is a retired general officer in the IDF. Mm-hmm. He's religious, keeps kosher. His wife keeps a kosher kitchen for him. For her, she could care less. We've been friends 30 years. We went out to a lunch together, and Danny was talking about, Barry, I think this may be the beginning of the Gog and Magog War of Ezekiel 38, 39. I get asked that a lot by Christians.
I'm sure.
But I'll say what Danny said. He said, but we have to remember that Scripture doesn't say if this is a one-year war or a 200-year war. Mm-hmm. But his wife, who historically has not been the religiously inclined, she kind of slaps the table and says, but tell the truth. October 7 was God rebuking us for our arrogance and calling us to repent. And that has been a theme in Israel since mm-hmm. October 7th. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jürgen Buehler, the president of Christian Embassy International, his son Shimon is in the IDF. Before October 7th, he would tell us about 10% of the soldiers in my unit pray. Mm-hmm. After October 7th, he said, about 10% of our soldiers don't pray.
Wow.
So it's horrible. Mm-hmm. It doesn't justify what happened, but God is using this to call his children back to him.
I mean, the Lord draws near to the brokenhearted, right?
Yes.
So even if it's just as simple as that, of that God is our source of comfort, and God is also our source of delight. So hopefully in these days moving forward. Now, Israel can delight in the Lord too. Amen. Barry, I've heard you explain your gratitude for what you do, that you get to do this, right? That you get to work for Israel.
Yes.
Can you just, as a last word, just tell our audience your own practices of gratitude and what you tell yourself, that you get to be doing this at this place and time?
Well, this whole 11 years living in Israel since we moved back in 2014. It's like the Lord has been teaching me how to apply the verses that we all know, in everything, give thanks. We don't like that. We like to complain about the indigestion or the joint pain or the bad night's sleep. And so for a decade, I've been learning to say thank you for all of this. And some amazing testimonies, as I can hardly walk on knees that hurt. And as I say, well, okay, thank you, Lord. Let me learn. And three steps later, the pain's gone. But it's not that that's a formula. That's a God teaching me. After October 7, I'm like, okay, God, how can I say thank you for this? And I couldn't. But as I'm praying, what bubbled up out of my spirit is, okay, God, thank you for trusting me enough to be your witness in this time of crisis. And I was actually very challenged at our Envision conference the first week of February. We had the mother of Hirsch Goldberg-Paulin, the American-Israeli hostage who was killed. And she was sharing her faith, Jewish faith, not a follower of Jesus. And she shared how every morning, rather than curling up and hiding under the covers, grieving over the loss of her son, she gets up and says her morning prayers. And the final phrase of her prayer is, "Thank you, God, that you have faith in me for this new day of life." And that's something that we all as believers can do. God, right. I don't understand what's happening, but you trust me to carry your light in this day, in this time. As Christians, you trust me to be the witness of Jesus in the midst of this chaos. And so, yeah, my life is, I'm grateful. I weep, I cry, I've lost friends in Israel, but we are in an amazing time in which God is fulfilling prophecies. And our world is changing, not because of anything we're doing, because of his plans.
Well, Barry, may we only be moving forward from here. And thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Shelley.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.